Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah.
I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your new Coke Zero drinking, boring dream having. I'm traveling this week and I forgot how to travel, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your pasta making from scratch, rainy weekend enjoying, cold showers are all that I can take now because hot water feels like gripping death around my body, friend.
Whoa. And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us and we thank you for being here. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
I am talking about milk. The type of milk where no cows are needed, it's made in a lab, and it's genetically identical to animal milk, and it's all possible now.
Whoa, what percent milk is it?
It's 100% milk, Bethany.
No, like, is it like 2% fat-free, whole?
Well, we're going to get into that.
Okay. And I am talking about, Kathleen, have you ever found yourself as a Victorian man struggling to defend yourself against other aggressive Victorian men and you like only have your cane?
I can't say that I've ever been in this situation.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, man, that makes you an outlier because I am going to talk about the manly art of bartitsu.
What?
It was a style of mixed martial arts specifically for Victorian men, but there were Victorian suffragettes and women who did it as well. And it is how to protect yourself. Let's say a gentleman attends your fete and you didn't invite him and he gets quite boisterous and drunk and you can't use wit to get him out of your house. Sometimes you need to grab his lapel. I will teach you all sorts of interesting things you can do to defend yourself and feats of strength to impress your fellow Victorian gentlemen.
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of what the modern day equivalent to this would be. It's not hacky sack because you can't use hacky sack to like protect yourself from an attacker.
I mean, this is like such a, like it's, I'll give you the lowdown, but like it was invented by this Victorian dude named E.W. Barton Wright, and he based it on jujitsu.
Oh.
But he added his own spin.
And a cane.
And a cane. And your bicycle. You can use your bicycle. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting. It was a very specific time in history, and it's very funny. All of the illustrations are like two guys in cane hats, straw hats, like beating each other with umbrellas.
Speaking of things that are Victorian, I've been looking on Etsy. By the way, Etsy is like, I know it's not a new website, but I've been spending a lot of money on there lately. I found, Bethany, a vintage toilet paper holder that it's a Victorian maid, like in brass, like holding your toilet paper for you. So it looks like she is distributing the toilet paper to you. And I was like,
oh, it's like a lady.
Yeah, it's a lady, a Victorian maid, toilet paper holder. And it, when you pull it, it looks like she's giving it to you.
How much did you pay for it, Kathleen?
I didn't buy it. I almost sent you the link and I was like, no, Bethany's trying to save money. I'm not going to tempt her. It was like $200.
That's a lot. But you know what? She's worth it. She's working really hard.
I know.
She's worth it. Kathleen, did you watch any movies or anything this weekend? What'd you do?
I watched this one on Shudder that you would love if you haven't already seen it. It's called Mayhem. Steven Yeun, he's the actor that plays Bethany. Mayhem is one of the best funny, gory horror movies I've seen in a long time. And it's funny that this came out in 2018 because the premise of it is that there's a virus that people are getting where it lowers all of their inhibitions. So basically you say and do whatever you want to and there's no filter. And this office of lawyers get this virus, effective immediately, the government shuts this building down. And for 8 hours, basically, you can do whatever you want and not be held accountable because the virus is like, you know, doing it for you.
It's like the Purge corporate edition.
Yes, exactly. And they just like, they kill their bosses and they tell their coworkers what they really think of them. And it's such a good movie.
Samara Weaving's in it. I love her so much. She was in Ready or Not. She's Hugo Weaving's niece. She was also in the newest Bill and Ted, I think. I love her. She's so funny. And she's really good at that kind of dry, sarcastic,
yes,
in the face of lots and lots of blood. She's awesome. I love her.
Cannot believe that this movie didn't get more press when it came out. I've never heard of it, but it's really one of the best horror movies I've ever seen. How about you, Bethany?
First of all, I love that you watched a horror movie.
Yeah, I spent all weekend watching horror movies.
Was the weekend, man. We got the hurricane, which didn't really hit. We just got a lot of rain. We didn't get the wind that a lot of people got. But we watched the 2013 remake of Evil Dead.
Oh, how was that?
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's one of those. So the original Evil Dead starts with this like fast moving. It's like a POV of someone flying through the woods, basically. Like you're this evil spirit flying through the woods. And the remake, it's not even a remake. It's sort of just like another addition to the canon or whatever. But it's the same sort of shot, but it takes you to a different opening premise. Oh. And as soon as it played out, I was like, I'm in. Whatever they do, I am in. They have me. It's not very often that a movie convinces me that I'm on board for whatever they want so early. Uh-huh. But there was one line in the beginning of this movie that I was like, oh, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. I've buckled up. I'm in. It's great. I loved it.
Look at us. Look at us. Just a bunch of ladies enjoying horror and blood and gore. Just a bunch of well.
Tis the season.
We are well-rounded, mentally prepared. We're healthy individuals.
We're great. By the way, thought of you again this weekend. Oh. Went to TJ Maxx, saw all of the beautiful multicolored pumpkins. Remembered you saying that it irritated you that I sent you pictures because it was still summer. So I didn't send you pictures.
It's still summer, Bethany.
Not really.
You know, I don't know why I'm like holding on to summer. It's not like anything changes for me from season to season. I don't go back to school. I work for myself. My schedule is still the same, you know? I don't have to go back into the office.
Those habits die hard though. I mean, I still get when I see, I say this every year, when I see the giant pencil at Target saying back to cool, I get anxious in my stomach.
You know, I think I don't have a tattoo. And we were discussing last week who would be more likely to get a regrettable tattoo out of the two of us.
Yeah.
I think I would get back to cool, back to school written somewhere on my body.
Would you like put it inside the giant pencil or would it just be the script in like a really beautiful cursive?
You know what? I'm going to fold another layer into this. I'm going to do a bouquet of pencils like Tom Hanks mentions in You've Got Mail. And then underneath it, back to school, back to cool.
That, Kathleen, if you got that tattoo done with a ribbon wrapped around the bouquet of pencils, sort of draping beautifully down, and it was written in an elaborate cursive font, and it said back to school, back to cool, I would worship you as a deity for the rest of my goddamn life, because that would be amazing. That would be so funny and such a commitment to comedy.
You know, it's really strange that you were talking about rom-coms last episode because the latest episode of Ted Lasso introduced rom-communism, which basically is the theory that you just continually believe no matter what happens that everything's going to work out in the end.
You know what? That's actually very true. I really like the name of it. I'll say it again. Uh-huh. Rom-coms are dangerous. They're more dangerous to the minds of youths than horror films. It makes you think that everything's going to be okay and that it'll all work out in the end. And it doesn't let you mentally prepare for how you're going to parry and guard against like the unknown.
It's the secret before the secret was invented. You just believe that everything's going to work out.
But that's not always the case, because especially in rom-coms, there's a second person involved. Three, if you're doing a throuple.
You know, this is kind of the same argument that sometimes entrepreneurs make on YouTube. You could sleep when you're dead. Yeah. It's like, no, you need sleep every day.
No, you do actually need to sleep. And a lot of the people who are hustling, you got to hustle, bro, are from like rich families. So they don't really know what hustling is, because they just got their money from mom and dad. You know, whatever.
So sometimes you need to not hustle. Sometimes you need to like take a nap, have a rainy weekend, and watch some horror movies to make your heart feel warm again.
Yeah, I was having this conversation last night because I have a really hard time relaxing and not feeling guilty about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what are you doing for your career? Yeah. What are you doing for what, you know, what little tiny tasks that you've been needing to get done are you doing right now?
Yeah.
And it makes my time where I'm relaxing not productive at all, because I'm not relaxing. I'm just feeling guilty about relaxing.
Yes.
So I'm trying to be better at saying, this is my time to relax. Yeah. It's not going to change anything. 1 hour of relaxing is not going to change my life in any other way. It's just, it's so, so, so necessary.
You know, I think like one of the most important things that parents can give their children and like future generations is the idea that it's okay to not be busy all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Because my mom was a teacher and she had the summers off, and my dad, I don't know, he had this idea that if he was working, everybody else in the family needed to be working too, even though we were like, you know, school people. So we all had the summer off.
Yeah.
And so he would like leave a list of tasks for everybody to get done. And it's like, but at this point, like, he's in his grave, so fuck you. But oh, God. Also, but also I notice it in my mom now. She's like, if I'm doing something around her house, I'm like, mom, you can relax. Just because I'm working doesn't mean that you need to be working, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be the opposite. I'd be like, you know what? I'm working really hard on your house. You better be helping. I'm going to need you to tape something. You had better be taping something with that blue painter's tape. Do some prep work, woman. Get off your ass.
When you see Dennis cleaning up, does it make you also get up and then feel like you need to clean up too?
Yes, because it's rude to not. If someone is like doing stuff around the house and it's your house, you should also you should also be getting up. If there's a guest over and you're working, I don't expect the guest to get up and start cleaning. But if it's my house and someone else is working on it, I am also going to be working on it.
No,
that's just manners.
That's their prerogative. If Neil feels like he needs to clean the kitchen and all I want to do is just sit and watch Netflix, that's what I'm going to do.
But Neil also lives there. That's
true,
the difference.
I guess.
It's also his house. You're at your mother's house.
Oh, please.
Rebuilding the whole house. Your mom should be helping.
Like, if I have a kid in the future and they're studying for a test, that doesn't mean that I also need to be studying for some, you know, imaginary, fictionary thing.
I don't know. Maybe you should be learning a new language. Think of how many languages you would learn every time someone else studied something. You would be 17 linguals right now.
So I was watching the story of one of the most stylish people I know. And I was like looking at pictures of her apartment, because Jen has a grown-up apartment. And so I was like, oh, I love her couch. Where's her couch from? And I was looking through all the posts. And then finally she tagged it. It was from Joybird.
This is furniture for when you are ready to have a grown-up piece of furniture.
Yeah.
You can design it yourself. You know that it's high quality. You know it's going to be a piece that you can move.
Yes.
It's not going to fall apart. Joybird makes your home a place that brings you as much joy as possible.
Their selection of customizable furniture and modern home decor, you can bring your own style into your space.
We were talking on our last live stream about, Kathleen, how much we both love mustard colored velvet.
Yes.
It feels like such a luxurious choice for furniture. If you're ready to take the jump into something that you really will love and be excited about, Joybird.
Joybird lets you choose from over 18,000 customizable options. You can browse their curated collections, or you can find the perfect piece to fit your one-of-a-kind style. And you can book a virtual showroom appointment to chat with a showroom stylist from the comfort of your own home.
And if you are someone who has kids or pets or kids and pets, they have Joybird's protection plan. Your upholstery and leather pieces will always look as good as new without having to treat them like they're in a museum.
And with financing rates as low as 0 APR for up to 36 months. You can relax now on your beautiful new furniture and pay later.
We also really care about the companies we're buying from now. And so with Joybird, each piece is made with incredible care. They use responsibly sourced materials that are free of harmful chemicals. And through partnerships with groups like One Tree Planted, Joybird is helping conserve and restore Earth's most precious natural resources.
The best part? Joybird has a 90-day return policy. Joybird stands by its quality and craftsmanship. So if it's not everything you hoped for, send it back.
Quality craftsmanship, stain and scratch-resistant fabrics, and limited lifetime warranty, Joybird furniture can handle anything your family throws at it, like a cup of coffee or emotions.
So create a space that brings you joy with Joybird. Visit joybird.com/taste to get 30% off of your purchase.
That's 30% off at joybird.com/taste.
Let's talk about milk, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Come on, Bethany.
Do you drink milk? Do you drink cow milk?
No.
You don't drink a good big glass of cold milk?
Do you remember when you're a little kid and that's what your parent used to pour you to drink with dinner?
Hell yeah. I drank milk, big 16-ounce glasses of milk, like two or three of them at dinner. So much milk.
What? Maybe that's why you're so tall and also so pale.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot of milk. And I'm trying to think when I stopped drinking it. Was that a thing, an old thing, or was that just a Midwest thing that we drank a ton of milk growing up?
Oh, no, we drank milk at dinner.
Okay.
And breakfast, I think my mom would pour us glasses of milk. Like,
oh, yeah.
Milk was the thing. And then I remember when I was like a chunky kid, it was skim milk. But turns out that that's not even that good for you. 2% is where is that?
Yeah, I've also heard that. Yeah, skim milk is like water milk.
Yes.
It's like you'd add a little bit of milk to some water. I also remember the cereal commercials where it was the cereal, two pieces of toast mm-hmm. with a pat of unspread butter
yeah.
and then a glass of milk and a glass of orange juice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then milk in your cereal.
Yeah. And then milk in your cereal. Yeah. It's like these people were made of money and also had like a vested interest in their local dairy farm.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about this article that is in newscientist.com.
Is this the website that you subscribe to and so now you have to read it every day because you paid a lot for it?
Yes, I did. Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you.
I love this.
It's really interesting. So milk, eggs, and other animal products can now be brewed in a lab without any animals and they are genetically identical to the real thing.
This is the future. This is The Island starring Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor, and then they fall in love. This is the future I want. Tell me everything.
It all started with Ryan Pandya, which is the best last name ever. P-A-N-D-Y-A. Pandya.
That's a hot guy name.
It's a hot guy name. In 2004, he had recently become a vegan. And one day he was like, I want a bagel, and I really would like it with some cream cheese.
Hell yeah.
But he had some very runny, very non-spreadable vegan cream cheese. And he's like, you know what? There has to be a better solution. Turns out there was a better solution. So fast forward to today, Ryan has a company called Perfect Day. And Perfect Day is revolutionizing food, specifically milk and dairy. Do you know that producing milk products without using an animal can decrease greenhouse gas emissions up to between 85 and 97% compared to traditional dairy making methods?
Whoa, that's crazy.
And I did a little deep diving into like who produces more greenhouse gases, cars or cows, because everybody's always like, get rid of cows. Well, it's definitely cars and other forms of transportation. Like that's the number one producer of greenhouse gases. But, you know, agricultural livestock is not zero. So anything that we can do to help this earth, because the IPCC just came out with a new climate change report. Had you heard about it?
No. Is this the International Panel on Climate Change?
Yes, exactly. And they're part of the United Nations. It's like all these scientists that they get together to provide relevant understandings of human-induced climate change. Anyway, they're like, we're fucked. We've already we have to start reducing immediately if we're going to make a dent in anything. And a small part of what we can do as individual humans is eating less animal products, particularly cows.
I am all aboard for this because if we're eating less meat, consuming less dairy, then fewer cows need to be, you know, bread to withstand the demand, which reduces the amount of greenhouse gases that those sweet, sweet farm dogs cause. Because they're big, big, just big puppies, except cows.
And I, it's not like I'm sitting here telling you about this new kind of milk because I'm totally milk-free. Like, I literally am eating a Siggy's yogurt as I'm telling you this, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, there's certain things that are hard. Cheese is really hard to replicate.
Yeah.
There are some pretty awful vegan cheeses. There are some good ones. They're expensive. So, you know, I have some dairy, but I definitely have cut way, way down. Yeah.
Yes. And cheese for me is the least of it. I think I would miss yogurt the most. Like, I could live without cheese.
Oh.
I know. I know.
Oh, my heart.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Back to milk. Let's talk about that company we were just mentioning, Perfect Day. It makes and sells milk, but it has no cows. Its farm is a bioreactor which cultivates microorganisms genetically engineered to secrete milk proteins.
Oh.
I know.
Continue.
The proteins don't just resemble milk. They are milk. They are identical to the real thing. Now, Perfect Day hasn't quite cracked like the cream cheese code yet, but it has cracked ice cream. And it is the only such milk company to get a product on the market so far that is identical milk proteins, and other companies are going to be behind it fairly shortly.
So, okay. So I'm on their website.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of a woman. She's stunning.
Yeah.
She's happily eating a bagel with cream cheese. So I'm, and this is under the, our why we do this. So I'm guessing that's like their future goal is cream cheese.
Yes. That's the whole thing. Ryan Pandya was eating some really bad cream cheese and then he started a company.
So I guess here's my question.
Yeah.
Is it dairy or is it not dairy?
It's dairy, Bethany. It is identical to dairy that comes from animals. It's just made with this process of fermentation that I'm going to tell you about.
Okay. So this isn't necessarily for vegans. This is for people who want to eat dairy but don't want to hurt the planet.
Well, it doesn't come. There's no animal product, Bethany.
But there's... Oh, fuck!
It's identical to animal product, but it's not made from animals.
So can vegans eat it or not?
Yes, it's vegan.
But I guess it's how do you define veganism? Are you no dairy or are you no animals?
And how do you define milk too? Because there's all these lobbyists that represent the dairy industry that are all up in arms, and we're going to get to that. So Perfect Day already has their vegan milk. I mean, vegans, I think, don't eat animal products because they care about the welfare of animals. So vegans could eat this, and it's genetically the same thing as the as animal dairy product, but it's made from no animals. So it's literally like an identical substitution. But you're not, it's the same consistency genetically.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there are a couple of brands that are already using Perfect Day's vegan, you know, milk product that's actually really just milk. Nyx ice cream, which my mom has recently turned me on to. It's so good. Brave Robot is another brand that's using Perfect Day milk. And Grater's ice cream, which is one of my favorites. It's a small batch company from Columbus, Ohio. They are also using Perfect Day's milk, but they have to call it vegan. Again, because how do you define milk when it doesn't come from an animal, even though it's genetically the same?
Wow, this is such an interesting thing because I've never thought about what it means to be specifically vegan.
Yeah.
It was always just animal products.
Yes. So Perfect Day's website says that there is no compromise with our dairy. We changed the process for how dairy is made, but we haven't changed what you love about it. Its taste, its texture, and its nutritional value. Their animal-free milk protein is nutritionally and genetically identical to the protein produced in cow's milk. But since it was made without animals, it's free of lactose and it aids in the downsides of animal agriculture.
This is so exciting.
So let me tell you about the process. It's really interesting. Basically, what they do is to produce real milk protein, they add the milk-making genetic blueprint from a cow to a tiny organism called a microflora. And then just like cows, flora needs a food source to produce this milk protein. So they feed them. They feed the flora plant sugars like corn. Then they use a fermentation to enable the flora to efficiently convert plant sugars into a milk protein, and the result is an animal-free milk protein that's identical to the protein found in cow's milk that can be used to make any dairy product.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
You said that there's no lactose in it.
Yeah.
Because it's not. So, and again, this is a question that you might not be able to answer, but I thought it was 100% genetically the same.
Yeah, but you can remove lactose from regular animals' milk. Lactose is just a sugar.
Okay.
And a sugar that animals make.
And okay.
Yeah, that's why you can go to the supermarket and buy lactose-free milk and it's still animal-produced milk. They've just removed the lactose.
Wow. Okay, this is wild. This is so exciting.
Yeah. So a little background about milk in America. The United States is the leading producer of milk in the world.
I believe it. We have a lot of space and we have a lot of tall farmers.
21 billion gallons a year.
Ugh.
I know.
That's so much milk.
And California is the top producing state.
As a Wisconsinite, don't love to hear that. It is commonly known in Wisconsin that California is the leader, but we kind of roll our eyes and then we don't talk about it.
So the largest milk producer, though, in the world in terms of animals is the humpback whale.
What?
I know. A humpback whale can make 1,000 pounds of milk per day.
That's so much milk.
And it consists of 42% fat, which is twice the amount of protein of most regular mammals' milk. So its consistency is like toothpaste.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay. So the world's rarest and most expensive cheese is made from donkey milk. It's called Pule.
Ugh.
It's a Serbian cheese. It's 60% Balkan donkey milk and 40% goat's milk. But
I love goat's milk. I love goat cheese.
And then, you know, circling back to that lactose thing again, experts say that 68% of the world's population has a lactose malabsorption issue.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, you know, lactose-free milk made from fermentation might be like a really good thing for people who have issues with dairy products.
Yeah.
And
can we go?
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about the humpback whale
milk
colostrum that it comes out with.
Like a toothpaste.
Oh, bleh. God, it's awful.
And while we're at it, let's address the question that people are always tossing around. Do adults need milk?
That's a good question. Do adults need milk? Because I read in a 90s diet book by Mary Lou Henner, that beloved actress and she who has a perfect memory.
Yes.
Cow's milk is intended, says Mary Lou Henner, to grow a calf the size of a dog to like a 2,000-pound cow in a matter of a few, I don't know, weeks.
Yes.
So according to her, beloved actress, we don't need it.
You know what? She's right, Mary Lou Henner. Probably not. Adults don't need dairy. And it's not the devil that you think it is. Sometimes, you know, you read these articles and it's like, why are you an adult that's still drinking milk? Like, how dare you? You know, milk, the best parts of milk are the vitamins and minerals that it offers. Vitamin D, vitamin A, protein, calcium. For kids, it's a great source of these nutrients because they eat a less varied diet than adults who get those things from elsewhere.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. If you're conscientious about, you know, the environmental impact that the dairy industry has on the world, then, you know, if you're not so tied to milk, then opting for another source of those nutrients, you know, and proteins is, you know, a better option for you probably.
Mm-hmm. So I texted the vegan I know best, which is Dennis, and I asked him, would you eat dairy that was 100% genetically identical to animal dairy but made in a lab? I said, for you, is veganism about the animals or about the food components?
Yeah.
And he said, for me, it's both. I can't handle dairy. It also makes me mucus heavy. So he said he wouldn't do lab-grown dairy either. Not necessarily because even though the animals are safe,
yeah,
it doesn't work with his body. It makes him like,
well,
kind of feeling.
Maybe it's the lactose that's an issue
so
for him.
So interesting.
And they can make it without the lactose. Like there are all sorts of things. Like the actual protein that I'm talking about is identical, but there are still things in animal milk that regular milk doesn't have that doesn't really affect, you know, the substance, you know, how it tastes and the texture. It's just like, you know, because it was made in an animal's body, it's just going to have these things like lactose.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Continue.
So,
sorry.
Let's get back to Perfect Day and its fermented milk.
Okay.
Plant-based burgers are a huge thing now. Like they've spiked in popularity over the years, which I personally love because I love a good plant-based burger. I feel my body just feels better after eating a plant-based burger than it does a meat-based burger.
And they taste so real. They're like
good.
Amazingly accurate.
Like a few years ago, it used to just be bean burgers or soy burgers. But now companies like Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat, they've proved that this vegan meat can get so close to the real thing that you cut your burger in half and it bleeds.
It's all that beet juice.
Now, something we're not going to like get deep into today, but I just want to mention is that there is a thing coming to the mainstream market, Bethany, called cultured meat. And it's actual muscle tissue grown from stem cells. So it's meat. It's like impossible meat, except just like this type of milk that Perfect Day, you're making a face right now. You're making you're doing
your
grumpy cat face.
No, it's not. It's more like I'm picturing a Petri dish.
Yeah.
With a bicep in it. It just seems so gross to me.
I mean, it's just a single cell. It's made from the stem cells of muscle tissue. And this cultured meat is made totally animal free. And it's being served in high end restaurants. And it's inching closer and closer to the mass market.
Okay. Was this just something I made up? Or I think I heard that when it comes to cultured meat, there was a story about someone or a group of people creating human meat for consumption.
No.
I think it maybe was just a publicity stunt, but it was like, have you ever wanted to taste person? Now, soon you can. Cultured meat. Person.
Maybe it was like a April Fool's Day joke.
Maybe.
But I just Googled cultured meat to see what the top results are. And apparently there are now lab-grown mouse cookies for cats.
No. And they're mice?
They're mice. They're mouse meat, I think. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Everything is upside down.
Okay. I'm going to have to do like a totally separate episode on cultured meat because there seems to be a lot of really interesting information here.
Cultured meat, human. Yeah. I'm Googling.
Mm-hmm. Would you eat human if it was made in a lab?
I don't know. Apparently, it was satire. Ouroboros steak was created from human cells harvested from the mouth via cotton swab and expired blood about to be discarded by a blood bank. It sparked no controversy during its appearance in Philly, but now the exhibition is at London's Design Museum and is up for a big award.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So the process that Perfect Day uses is called precision fermentation. And like we said, genetically engineered micronisms. But fermentation is not something that's new. You know, it's not groundbreaking. Breads use fermentation, beer, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, all products of fermentation. Once upon a time, to get things to ferment, dairy products specifically, like yogurt, you needed something from the inside of an animal stomach, this thing called rennet. And it's a complex set of enzymes produced in the stomachs of hooved animals.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, wait a second. They ate yogurt in ancient times. I mean, like, isn't that why people eat Greek yogurt? Because ancient Greeks had yogurt. Like, how did they figure that out back then? A very quick history about yogurt. The first use of yogurt in Turkey was believed to be by Central Asian herdsmen who stored their extra goat milk in containers made out of animal stomachs to preserve it while they were on the go. And some of the milk stored in these stomach skins, to their surprise, became thick and tart. And more importantly, it was still edible even after a long day in the hot sun.
Who do you think was brave enough to try that for the first time?
I know.
Because you put milk in your bag.
Yeah.
And when you open it again, it's become viscous.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't care. I'm going to try it anyway.
I mean, I've made some really questionable dinners that I've said to myself, I don't care. I'm going to try it anyway. So rennet is this thing inside of animal stomachs that milk interacts with, and then it becomes yogurt. So up until 1990, before the FDA approved genetically engineered rennet, scientists were still going into veal calves into their stomachs while they were still being milked by their moms and taking this enzyme that they needed to create cheese and yogurt.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. It's really strange to think about that. But then when there was a shortage of veal calves, they were forced to create a genetically engineered component. And then in 1990, the FDA approved this genetically engineered component called chymosin, which is, just bioengineered rennet. So no animal stomachs are needed. You know, the whole point of this is that in the end, this fermentation milk – this cultured milk that Perfect Day is working on, theoretically, it could be healthier than the real thing because it's produced without antibiotics or hormones. It's less likely to be a carrier of foodborne infections. Like we said, it's made without lactose, so many people who are intolerant can consume it. It's also made with healthy fats, and it can be fortified with nutrients. And then when you take cows out of the equation, then you also take animal welfare issues out of the equation, which is a big thing. Yeah, a big thing for vegans.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's so exciting.
I know.
And then, that would be dope. I would eat the hell out of that.
You can't have no animals because you do have to take like stem cells from the animals to get this. But ice cream, cheese, whole milk for coffee and tea. It's all going to be a thing of the future. But this is something we touched about in the beginning of this conversation, the milk wars between the dairy industry and the dairy alternative industry.
Sure. Yeah.
What can you actually call milk?
Are they going to have to call it like milk product?
Yes, probably. Okay. If it's genetically the same, why can't you just call it milk? And that's because there's a whole industry of dairy farmers that are like, save our industry. And I get it.
Yeah, sure.
It's hard to lose your main source of income. But also, what happens when your main source of income is not really great for this earth and alternatives are needed?
Yeah. I mean, I think that as a society, we'll learn the language.
Yeah.
I think like people understand that like – and it'll live in the same section. I mean, American cheese is called cheese products.
Yeah.
But like it lives in the dairy section. So so we still understand kind of what we're getting. But yeah, sometimes, your industry has to change. And hopefully you can partner up with like a company that's doing this.
Yeah.
And change, the technology that you have to try and stay in line with this growing industry. I think it's exciting.
I mean, I like this because other alternatives, sometimes they have added sugars and stuff like that, and that's not necessarily good for you. Soy milks and rice milks and oat milks, they have added sugars and other things to make them taste good. I like the idea of something that's identical to milk that doesn't actually come from a cow.
Okay, I was watching the trailer for My Life is Murder, which is a series on Acorn TV, which we love. It stars Lucy Lawless, and she is so amazing, and she's beautiful.
God bless Acorn TV.
During these unprecedented times, TV has been really kind of a saving grace for a lot of us, but I know that by now a lot of you feel like, okay, you've watched everything, right? You've like caught up on the shows you want to catch up on. You've watched all the shows like 7 times. If you are tired of scrolling through the same movies or the same shows and you miss the excitement of weekly releases and brand new binge fests, you have to get Acorn TV and you have to watch My Life is Murder.
Acorn TV is the largest commercial-free British streaming service that features compelling stories and exclusive premieres and originals that you are not going to find anywhere else.
I have been subscribed to Acorn TV for literally years. It's where I watch all of my cozy mysteries and all of my British shows. There are award-winning mysteries and dramas and comedies, shows from around the world, and it features renowned actors like David Tennant and Tandy Newton.
The show that I'm really excited about, Bethany, is Oldenheim 12. It's a Dutch show, but it's about a girl who goes on a bike ride on a quiet summer evening and then she disappears. Was it an abduction? Was it an escape? Or was it a moita?
A moita? Who among us hasn't gone on a bike ride in the middle of the night and then gone missing? We can all relate.
I love it when people disappear.
You get thousands of hours of new enthralling content on Acorn TV for a fraction of the cost compared to most streaming services. It's just $5.99 a month. You spend more than that on stupid stuff every day, Janet. You know you do.
So if you're ready for a streaming service that offers new stories, new characters, and breathtaking sceneries every week, do what Bethany and I did and get Acorn TV.
Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and using our promo code TASTE. But you have to enter TASTE in all lowercase letters.
That's Acorn, ACORN.TV, code TASTE, all lowercase, to get your first 30 days for free.
Kathleen, just a little spoiler alert for the bonus episode coming out next week.
Yeah.
We talk about how I'm afraid that I'm too much when it comes to friendships. I am not even worried about seeming like too much to Magic Spoon because I freaking love Magic Spoon cereal so much and I don't care if it frightens them.
No.
My enthusiasm cannot be tamped down.
Every time I pour myself Magic Spoon, the frosted flavor, because that one's my favorite, I look at my bowl and I go, how dare you, Magic Spoon? How dare you be so delicious?
My favorite flavor of Magic Spoon is their fruity flavor. It's so good. But I've also tried every single flavor they have. Their cookies and cream is amazing. Their maple waffle, which, by the way, both of those flavors are coming back permanently. They're so good.
Gentle listener, if you haven't figured it out by now, we are talking about Magic Spoon cereal. Because, you know, we're all trying to eat better, especially in the morning. A healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah.
Because Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar. It has 13 to 14 grams of protein per serving, and it only has 4 net carbs in every serving.
It's also keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. By the way, if you're someone like me who's been using protein powder before or after workouts, Magic Spoon is a really great way to get that protein, but it's not necessarily the most boring thing in the world if you've been doing protein shakes for years. Just have a bowl of Magic Spoon.
Yeah, you get to chew.
You do get to chew. And my nutritionist tells me chewing is important because it reminds my body that I've eaten.
It does.
Shakes are tough.
I mean, Magic Spoon really makes me feel like a kid again because it feels like I'm eating the cereal that I grew up eating, except, you know, it's like not junk this time around.
Yeah, it's grown-up cereal with kid boxes. There's still mazes and games on the back of the box that you can play while you eat.
I know. I'm like, Neil, don't you dare throw away that box. I haven't finished the circus quiz yet.
So go to magicspoon.com/taste to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code TASTE at checkout to save $5 off your order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of cereal at magicspoon.com/taste and then use the code TASTE to save $5.
Thanks for sponsoring this episode, Magic Spoon.
I love you and I don't care who knows it. All right, Kathleen, once upon a time, men were men.
Yeah.
And when it came time to exchanging blows, men could be counted on to beat the crap out of each other in very unnecessary ways and for stupid reasons. But then the Victorian era came about and men were looked down upon for being weak and not having that same kind of masculine quality that everyone expected them to have because, you know, there were machines now to do all that labor. And so men had more time to do less exercise.
You know, it's kind of hard to kick ass and take names when you're wearing a monocle and a top hat, though. I do have to say that for the Victorian men.
And you've been saying that for years. And I think that's very sweet of you to really take their side. So I was given this book by my sister. It's called The Sherlock Holmes School of Self-Defense, The Manly Art of Bartitsu, as used against Professor Moriarty by E.W. Barton Wright.
Okay.
So that's a lot. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. When Sir Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the book The Final Problem, he killed Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
Okay. Spoiler alert for The Final Problem. Sherlock Holmes and Professor Moriarty beat each other into a pulp as they fall over a waterfall.
Oh, I didn't know that Sherlock Holmes dies in the end.
Dies. Okay. People lost their shit. Readers were so angry that they demanded Sir Arthur Conan Doyle bring Sherlock Holmes back. There's no way he died, they said. There were people who wore black in mourning for Sherlock Holmes. True story. People were all about it. It's like if what's her name killed Harry Potter. She's like, now he's dead. He fell off a cliff.
Hermione? Hormone. If Hormone killed Harry Potter.
Yeah. People would lose their minds, okay? So then Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was like, fine, leave me alone, okay? So then he wrote The Hound of the Baskervilles, which he set before Sherlock Holmes' death.
Oh, yes. And that's one of the most famous ones, yes, right?
Yeah, because people were so happy to see him again. But then he wrote The Empty House. This book explained that, nah, just kidding, Sherlock Holmes didn't die.
Huh.
He was able to survive the fall over the waterfall because of his knowledge of Bartitsu, the manly art of grappling and stick play.
It sounds like a pastry that I'm going to have with my espresso.
And it sounds delicious.
I'll have the pistachio Bartitsu, please.
So he called it Baritsu. Most people think it's based on Bartitsu. Bartitsu was inspired by jujitsu. It was developed by E.W. Barton Wright, who wrote this book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is go through some ways that you, Kathleen, as a Victorian gentleman, can defend yourself against ne'er-do-wells and scoundrels who you come upon in the streets.
Ooh, I'm excited for this.
Great.
Hoboken is crawling with ne'er-do-wells.
I know, and so many rascals and scoundrels, especially on a Friday night. So the introduction to this book, and the title of this book is not what this dude originally wrote, but the rest of it is what this dude originally wrote. So this is actually Barton Wright's actual words and his descriptions, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here we go. Here's one. This is in the chapter, How to Deal with Undesirables. Kathleen, here is how to put a troublesome man out of the room.
Okay. You fart.
No, if that doesn't work.
Okay.
Okay. Figure one. Seize the man's right wrist with your right hand. So here's what you're going to do. Go like you're shaking his hand.
Uh-huh.
Right? Right
nice
to right.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Yeah, nice to meet you, sir. But instead of grabbing his hand, you're going to grab his wrist. Now, you're going to twist your hand so you're turning his wrist upwards towards the ceiling.
Ooh, gotcha.
Yep, upwards. Uh-huh. And then you're going to take your left arm, which is free.
Yeah.
You're going to grab his lapel.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yes.
Now what you're going to do is, because you're reaching through, you're grabbing his lapel, now you're going to jerk the man's arm down.
Ooh.
And by doing that with your hand on his lapel, his arm is braced over your arm and you could break his elbow if necessary.
I mean, in a situation like that, I think it might be deemed necessary.
So necessary.
Yeah.
Okay. How to overthrow an assailant who attacks you from behind and pinions your arms.
Ooh, pinions. I hate it when that happens.
I know, me too. So I have always learned that if someone bear hugs you from behind and grabs your arms and you're all like squozing in like a mummy.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is just go dead weight like a kid does when they don't want to go to bed. Just go dead weight, let your knees buckle, and they will always let go of you because you're going to be so heavy and they won't expect it.
Oh, I always thought it was like the headbutt, you know, right into their nose.
Ooh, that's good. You could also do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as Paul Blart taught us, no one wins in a headbutt. Okay. But here's another thing you're supposed to do. So if someone grabs you from behind and pins your arms to your side, you're going to take your right foot and stamp on their right foot. So you're going to stamp them on the foot.
Left foot next time, stomp. Right foot, okay.
Right foot, stomp. And then after he's like, ow, my foot, then you're going to take your right hand, you're going to reach behind you, and you're going to grab his thigh.
Ooh, okay.
And you're going to have your thumb on his inner thigh, right? And you are going to put as much pressure on your thumb digging into his inner thigh. And it's going to hurt him so much, that guy, that he's going to be like, ow, my inner thigh.
I think this is also a sex position, too.
It might be. Yeah. It's just called the great pinion.
Oh,
okay. So then he's going to be in so much pain that he's going to loosen his hold. So now you're going to take advantage of this opportunity. You're going to put your right arm around his body again from behind. You're still bent over, and you're going to put your right leg behind his knee. So you're going to put your arm behind, and then you're going to kind of step to the side like Fosse, and you're going to put your right leg behind his knee. And then you're going to take the inside of your leg and sort of make his knee buckle, and then you're going to push him to the ground.
Pooh, you're done.
You're like, get out of my party, sir. You're not invited.
You know, that's how I show affection for someone when I haven't seen them in a long time. I give them a hug and then I go, here comes the Kathleen special. And I wrap my leg around the back of their knees. And I hug them even tighter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing that?
For so long. It's like, I love you. I missed you. It's so good to see you. Here comes the Kathleen special. And then I wrap my leg around him, too.
What's the general response to the Kathleen special?
Laughter or just like, oh, get off of me.
Or just getting so turned on they can't handle it.
You know what? I never give my husband the Kathleen special for reason.
Oh, no.
It's only people I haven't seen in a very long time.
I feel like Neil may be due for the Kathleen special one of these days.
Maybe I use that technique to remind them about how funny and carefree I am.
That Kathleen, she's so whimsical when she pins my body against hers. All right. Here is how to escape when seized by an item of apparel.
Oh.
All right. Because keep in mind, Victorian men were wearing a lot of clothes.
So many layers.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote. A severe shaking is a great and terrible punishment, as those who have been so unfortunate as to have experienced it will testify. So if a man seizes you by the coat and attempts to shake you, Kathleen.
Shake, 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 shake,
shake, shake, shake, shake, shake, shake, shake. It's humiliating. Here's how to release yourself and overthrow your assailant.
Got it.
Someone seizes you by your lapels, so that both of their arms are up against your chest.
Yes.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to make two tiny fists with your fists.
Okay.
Like right in front of your face.
Okay.
You're going to go pow at the same time with both fists into the person's face.
Oh, double trouble.
Double trouble at the same time. So their arms are around at your lapels. You're going to go between their arms and then double fist pow right in the face. Okay.
Pow, pow. Got it.
So then right after that, Kathleen, you are going to bring your elbows down and then open. So like down and open. That's going to break his wrists away from your fancy lapels.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm in a concert. Elbows out.
Yeah, elbows out. Stay away from me. COVID. Yes. All right. You're going to lower your head. No, sorry. He's going to lower his head because you just put his hands down. He's like, what happened? He's looking down at his hands. They used to be on your lapels and now they're away. Here's what you're going to do, Kathleen. This is the most important part. You're going to immediately take this opportunity. You're going to catch him by the head. You're going to take your right hand and put it behind his head.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to take your left hand, like the hollow of your hand, and you're going to put it under his chin.
Oh.
Now, here's where I thought he was going to say snap the person's neck, because that's prime neck snapping position.
Uh-huh.
However, he's just saying twist his head and throw him on his back.
Oof. Yeah.
Which is less effective than snapping neck, but probably less likely to land you in jail.
Yes. And if you've ever had a strained neck, you know that doesn't leave you in a very good position to attack the person again. So
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is very true.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Kathleen, what happens if you have your stick or your cane?
Yeah.
And a man is accosting you, but he has no weapons.
Oh.
Kathleen, you may think you have the upper hand.
I do have the upper hand. I have a cane.
Not. No, you do not, Kathleen, because as Blue Blitzu or whatever it's called, Bartitsu teaches us, by virtue of his having accepted the apparent disadvantage, so having no weapon.
Yeah.
This man is likely to be an expert at his business.
Oh.
So you should treat such an opponent with the utmost regard.
Yeah, I see.
He doesn't need no weapon because he's a master of his fists, Kathleen.
He has prepared his whole life to do the attack in sans a weapon.
Yeah. It's like if you know that you can shoot lasers with your eyes and like cut things, you're not going to get a scissor.
No.
You're just going to use your eyes, right?
Why bother? Yeah.
Here's the best way to disable a man who tries to rush you and get under your guard in order to prevent you from hitting him with your hooked stick.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you have a hooked stick.
Mm-hmm.
And this man is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's pissed, Kathleen. He comes at you. He slaps you in the face with his glove. And he's like, sorry, I demand satisfaction. And you're like, but I have a hook stick. And he's like, I have nothing.
He's like,
come at me.
You stole my horse and my wife. And you're like, well, they both wanted to come with me.
Yeah. They're like, I did nothing. They came willingly. And he was like, well, I'm so mad. So you're going to stand with your right leg forward, Kathleen, and you and you're going to make a little bit of a threatening motion with your left hand. Like, ha ha, come on, come on, come on. Right?
Slap you silly, bitch.
Yeah. And he's going to kind of like go back a little bit, right? He's going to like go back.
Come at me, bro.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. But the only reason you're doing that is because you want to get his attention away from your hooked stick, right? You want him to look at the hand that your left hand where you're going like, I'm going to punch you. I'm going to punch you. But your hooked stick is in your right hand, okay? So when his guard is down, you're going to hoop your hooked stick around him and hook his neck.
It's all about deception.
Yeah, it's all about deception. It's like magicians. David Copperfield, Art of Deception. Okay, so now the hook is around the back of his head.
Yeah.
Now you're going to bend your knees. So you're going to put your whole weight of your body down upon your hook stick. You're going to bring his head down. Pull his head down, Kathleen. So now he's looking down at the ground. Okay?
Bethany, you know, you could have a really genre specific, a very niche type of aerobics, just telling people how to move their bodies, pretending they're in a Victorian fight.
Kathleen, there are videos on YouTube of men doing bartitsu. It is, they're not wearing, you know, what you would picture for martial arts. They're wearing full suits.
Oh my God.
And in one, a man tosses his silk handkerchief at the other man's face. No. And the other man is like, whoa.
You're an angry, aggressive man moving forward. I'm going to flick my pocket square into your face.
No. Bethany. Bethany. Out of all of the physical fitness crazes, I think that in New York City, if you did Victorian bartitsu for the ladies, this would take off.
So ladies did this too. There were an army of women who were trained in this who would protect other suffragettes when they were out like picketing and saying women should get the vote. People got so mad because women stop thinking, ladies. Yeah. And so there were these suffragettes who were trained in the art of grappling and stick thievery to like punch, punch, pow, and be able to protect all the ladies.
How cool.
I know. Back to the hook stick. You have the hook around the guy's neck. Now his head is near the ground.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to do, Kathleen?
I'm going to put my knee right into his forehead.
You're going to put your knee right into his forehead.
Now, this is what it says. Smash his skull open until there's brains on the ground.
Now, you just hit the problem right on the head, because no pun intended, because you do have to be careful. Mm. Do you want to kill this man or do you simply want him ejected from your party?
Depends on what he did.
Well, I mean, okay. Because if you knee him too hard, you could break his teeth. You could break his nose. You could crack him open.
Yeah.
You also want to be careful to keep your feet out of the way because he could grab your feet and whoosh you to the ground. And, and now we're back to square one.
Also, he could put like his teeth right into your knee.
He could.
Yeah.
Kathleen, let's say that you have a stick. Or an umbrella.
Yeah, both useful items.
And you find yourself in the midst of a saloon brawl. You're in a pub. You're in a public house.
Ooh.
And a brawl breaks out, okay?
Dreams do come true.
Yeah, I know, right? What you're going to do, Kathleen, is you're going to crouch down to the ground and make yourself as small as possible. Mm. So the brawling is happening all around you and you're going to drop to the ground. Uh-huh. You're going to take your sticker umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And in the words of Barton Wright, you're going to keep diving with your stick between people's legs, upsetting them left and right.
Oh.
You're going to be poking your stick between their legs and going, brrr, and sometimes you're going to do like a punch up. You don't want to hit their groin, but you do want to hit like their thigh.
Yeah, and to make a move.
Yeah, to make a move. And you're just going to be waving your stick willy-nilly as you're crawling along the ground.
Ooh, this is also a good technique for getting out of a mosh pit.
Yes. Take your umbrella to the mosh pit all the time. That's what we always say. And then wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And brrr, as you get out of the mosh pit.
Yeah, or like have one of those nightsticks that fold up, you know, and you can keep in your pocket. And then you get into that mosh pit. You just hit people with your nightstick.
Yes, exactly. How to overcome a ruffian who attacks you with a knife.
A ruffian? What's a ruffian?
A ne'er-do-well, a bad guy.
Okay.
So the intro to this, written by Barton Wright, says, I may state that I have been repeatedly attacked during a long residence in Portugal by men with a knife or 6-foot quarterstaff.
Oh.
And I wrote, was he a dick? Why is he being repeatedly attacked in Portugal?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? He being disrespectful to the Portuguese culture?
Yeah. I think he may have been a dick. But here we go, Kathleen.
Maybe he's like, I get better bread and coffee in Spain.
Oh, shit.
And the Portuguese are like, you're a liar because we have better bread and coffee.
Gentlemen, get your knives. All right. So here's what you're going to do if ruffians come at you with a knife. Obviously, you're wearing an overcoat or a cloak or some type of cape.
Okay.
So what you're going to do is you're carrying it over your shoulders like you're one of the Olsen twins during fashion week. And it's too hot to wear a leather coat, but you still want to look good in a leather coat. Drape it over your shoulders.
Okay. All right.
Now, face your attacker.
Yeah.
Wait until he is within a distance of 2 to 3 yards. All right.
You know, when people say that to me, I'm like, I don't know what yards. I don't know. I have no idea.
When he gets within softball throw in distance. Because I don't okay, so if he gets it, like if you could run at him with two or three bounding steps.
There you go.
Okay.
That's a much better measurement, yeah.
Okay, so if he is within 3 bounding steps away from you.
Okay.
You're going to take your right hand. You're going to grab your cloak that is over your shoulders. You're going to grab it with your right hand. You're going to whoosh it like you're a bullfighter. Okay. You're going to whoosh it around your own head. And then he's going to come close enough to you. You're going to whoosh it over his head. Now it's over his head.
Okay? He's blinded.
Yes, exactly. You're going to then run around behind him because he's in your coat and he's like, oh no, I'm in the coat. You're going to run around behind him. You're going to seize him by the right ankle. You might think you would just bear hug him, but no, you're going to make it harder on yourself. You're going to seize him by the right ankle, duck down, seize him by the right ankle. You're going to push him under the shoulder blade with your left hand and you're going to throw him very violently down to the ground upon his face. And he is going to try to break his fall and protect his face, which means he is going to drop his weapon. He then will be disarmed and in a position where you can break his leg immediately if you so choose.
I do so choose.
I thought you would so choose.
Yeah, he's trying to attack me. Screw his leg.
Now, this one's a little misleading.
Okay.
It's if you are a lady and a man comes at you and stands in the path of your bicycle, first step, ride towards him.
Okay. Don't back down.
He's going to jump to one side to protect his junk.
Is that the technical term? Is that what Barton Wright says?
Yeah.
But he's going to step aside to protect his junk.
Yeah, to protect your junk. Step two, you're going to pull out your water squirt that I didn't know we had. Huh? It looks like a gun, but apparently shot water 20 feet or so. And you're going to shoot the man in the face with water.
Oh, that's like not that creative.
All right, I'm trying to find 1 feat of strength to do. Let's see here. There was one that I just didn't understand. It was how to pick up a chair that had 4 men sitting on it.
Huh.
I don't think this actually works. I think that this was a little bit homoerotic. This was a situation where men had an excuse to sit on each other and like maybe be closer than society allowed them to be. Okay. I'm going to read this to you and you let me know if this makes any sense to you. Okay.
Okay.
How to lift a chair with 4 men packed upon it.
Okay.
All right, so here's what it is. The first man sits in a natural position upon the chair, okay? Mm-hmm. He must grasp the back legs as firmly as possible. So he sits down, grasps, you know, puts his hand down by his sides and grasps the legs of the bed, the chair.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a sex move, you know? That's like your O position.
Yeah, that's your O position is what this says.
Yes.
Okay. Another man then comes and sits across his legs facing him like they're going to kiss.
Okay.
He grasps the back of the chair. So now you have 2 men sitting junk to junk, lips to lips, grasping opposite ends of the chair.
I would go see this play.
I would too. Co-signed. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you have 2 more bros who come and lay between these 2 guys. So these 2 guys, by sitting face to face, have created a space between them.
Yeah, they're like a napkin holder.
Yes, like a napkin holder. And now one dude lays over their lap, and then the other dude lays over his back.
Got it. Yeah. They're the napkins.
Right. So they're the napkins. So now 4 guys are getting real close to each other. So now you charge the back with your shoulder.
Yeah.
And you tilt it forward.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone loses their balance and the bottom man finds himself forced off the seat into a sitting position, which I don't understand, and lifting the chair with the 3 men on his thighs. So I think he just sort of rocks forward and takes all the men with him because the guy on top is holding the back of the chair. I think that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get it. That's cool.
Okay, so then you push the chair forward by using your leg as a fulcrum against the crossbar of the chair on the back.
Okay. I wish I knew what a fulcrum was, but okay.
It's like the point of where something tips, right? It's like the center of the seesaw.
Okay.
You push the chair forward using your leg as a fulcrum against the crossbar and make the seat strike number one man behind the knees. He will lose his balance and drop into the chair.
Yeah, I
don't get it.
I get it, yeah.
Then you draw your leg away and pull the chair backwards. The bottom man's feet will temporarily leave the ground and you will thus produce the illusion of having lifted all four men into the air.
I get it.
I don't get it for a second.
You have to do it very quickly. It's like, you know, I bet someone has done this on America's Got Talent. That's what I'm picturing.
If we can find a video of this happening, we will post it to our Instagram. But Kathleen, that is The Manly Art of Bartitsu. I highly recommend this book by E.W. Barton Wright. It's just a bunch of pictures of men looking super fancy and doing that old-timey boxing pose where one fist is super close to your face and one fist is almost a full arm's length away from you.
Yeah, and you start hopping and you're like, okay, I'm ready for a fight. Put him up.
Sorry, you have bested me. And if you have a silk handkerchief, throw it in a man's face and it will cause him to go, oh, God.
I'm gonna throw my trench coat over your face and just run away.
It's the best way. It'll help you every time.
If you've ever felt like you were struggling with a problem, whether it was mental health or something going on in your life, one of the hardest steps is asking for help.
Mm-hmm. But the surprising thing is that when you do ask for help, it's amazing how many people want to help.
Yeah.
And can help. They have actually really good life experience to help you.
And that's why Bethany and I have been longtime partners with Talkspace.
Yeah. Talkspace is such a wonderful idea because our schedules are nuts. The pandemic has left us sort of wondering what we can and can't do. And Talkspace matches you with a licensed therapist and schedules live video sessions, all from the comfort of your device. So instead of trying to make an appointment and then wondering if you can go in person, you can start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up.
Whether you're a parent or a student or a millennial or just someone who's having a hard day, Talkspace can provide the support to help you feel better with a single message. And Talkspace not only offers individual therapy, they also offer couples therapy, which I think is really amazing because a lot of couples need therapy, especially the couples I know, and they really don't know how to get that help.
And by the way, you don't need to be in a huge, dire situation to go to therapy. Couples therapy can be just maintenance, like getting your car tuned up. You want to make sure that your relationship is going well.
Yes.
Everyone should go to therapy.
There's a reason that Talkspace is the number one online therapy program. Whether you're looking for help with anxiety, depression, relationships, and more, they have a specialist that's going to be able to help you.
And if you do need medication, they have medication prescription services available too. So start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com, and that'll get you $100 off of your first month when you use the promo code TASTE.
It's $100 off when you use the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at Talkspace.com.
Kathleen, can I tell you about a dream I had last night?
Sure, question mark.
It was the most boring dream.
Oh, great. I'm really excited to hear this.
You want to hear? I'm going to try to tell you in 1 minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to time myself, and I'm going to try to make this exciting, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm getting my timer out.
Okay.
1 minute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you about the dream I had, okay?
Okay. This is what everybody should do when they have a story that they want to tell someone, but they know it's not a very good story. Be like, I'm going to get my timer out. I'm going to tell you this very bad story, and then in a minute, it's going to be over.
Yeah, it's going to be over. My sister's rule is you can tell me your dream, but you have to do it in 3 sentences and they can't be run on. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
I went to this little store in Chelsea Market and they were selling a statue, a resin, cheap resin statue that looked like 4 measuring cups kind of toppled within each other. So forming this tower that if it was real, wouldn't ever stand. Out of these measuring cups were handles where you would hang your real measuring cups. So when you were done, you would have, and the statue was like 1.5 feet tall, you would have a statue of measuring cups holding a tower of real measuring cups. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It was maroon.
Uh-huh.
And I decided I needed it.
Okay.
So the price tag said it was $50. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not worth $50. I saw that they had scratched out and added all of these other prices and had gone down to 16, but the man was trying to charge me 30.
No.
And I was like, this is not worth
$30. Yeah.
So finally I said, you know what? I really don't need it. I had already given him my credit card though. And so I packed up all of my things, proud of myself. And I walked around and I left, but then I forgot my credit card. And
oh, a minute. That's it, Bethany. Got to leave it there.
I mean, the end of the dream is that I went back and I got my credit card.
Wow.
And it was all fine. That was the whole dream. And Kathleen, it was long. It was a long dream. The haggling part of the dream was multiple minutes long.
I think that maybe your brain is trying to tell you you consume too many things.
I think my brain is trying to tell me I'm boring.
Oh.
And I need to up my game.
Well, let's do a 180 and change this topic to something very exciting. Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Okay, yeah. Did you hear? We got a text message or a voicemail from a taste bud, and they were like, Bethany and Kathleen, have you heard about this news about Old Navy? Old Navy is no longer having a regular size section and a plus size section. They've just decided to combine it all because why should you have to feel different?
It makes sense.
When I learned about this, I almost cried because it's a big deal for some people who want to find clothes in the regular section that they like, or want to find clothes that they like, but it's only in the regular section. They mm-hmm. don't make it in the plus size section. Like it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only reason I can see that there would be a separate section for quote unquote plus size is because it's different clothes.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. Because if you're making clothes for larger sizes, just make them look good on larger sizes. Like maybe it has to be a slightly different shape or a different tux or whatever, but
make
it
the
just
same
takes
style.
A little effort. Yeah.
So Old Navy is calling this bod equality, and everything that they make will be made in sizes 0 through 30. There's no separate sections. The prices don't get higher because of the bigger sizes using more fabric. It's all going to be the same.
That's fantastic. When do they say when that's going to happen, when that's rolling out?
I believe that it's effective immediately. Like it's starting to roll out already.
That's great.
They spent 3 years doing research on this, size inclusivity across the whole board, finally giving curvy shoppers the options and space that they have always deserved. And I was talking to a friend of mine who has no curves. She's been thin and sort of square her whole life. And she says that it bothers her when people are like, real women have curves, because not every woman has curves. And mm-hmm. so she likes this idea of just getting everything in one spot because it affects smaller people too, you know?
Yeah. Bodies are so unbelievably different. Like I would love to talk to like a gynecologist, because a gynecologist sees a woman mm-hmm. like walk in clothes
yeah.
and then they leave the room, and then they come back and the woman's wearing a gown or whatever she's wearing for her or thing. So the person like sees their body, how it presents yeah. to the world, and then sees their body like unclothed. And yeah. I bet it's wild. I bet that you see someone and you're like, their body's perfect. And then they take their clothes off and it's like, whoa. But none of us know that. We just know that we look at this person and they're quote unquote perfect. And we don't see that.
Yeah.
You know, something, they have a face, they have a literal face imprinted on their abdomen from where their twin tried to get out. But they hide it and we don't know.
You can't see when you look at someone who looks perfect that when they go home, they're so lonely that they eat on the floor next to their cat.
Yeah, they eat on the floor. I eat on the floor next to my cat, but I do it because it's cooler down there.
Have you ever, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm going to admit this. Have you ever put a plate next to your cat's plate and eaten dinner at the same time just to see what it's like to eat from their perspective? Have you ever done this?
No? God, I wish I could be supportive and say yes, but I haven't. But that doesn't mean I'm judging you. Have you?
Yes.
What is it like eating from their perspective?
Well, I just wanted to see if my cat was going to freak out. So I put my plate of whatever next to their plate. And I was like,
did you eat with your mouth, or did you use silverware?
No, I ate directly with my mouth. I think I was eating lentils.
You didn't say that you were eating like them, too. I just thought you were, like, laying on the ground eating with a knife and fork.
No, I just put my I was like a lentil salad, you know? It's easy to scoop up with your tongue.
Okay, here's my next question. Did a part of your brain go, I wonder if someone could see me right now, what they would think of what Kathleen does home alone?
It's like Angela when she leaves her security camera on in the show The Office and everybody watches her licking her cats, you know?
Yes. I often wonder, like, if someone were to just look in my house right now, what would they think of me? Because it is usually something not like, you know, eating off the floor with my cats, but it is talking to my cats or it is trying to see if my body can do this thing I saw on Instagram. So there's like a lot of screaming and pulling.
Or like I'm always shifting furniture around or moving trash from one spot to the other and then moving it back again, you know?
Yeah.
They would be like, you're a slob who loves TV and your cats.
Why are you talking to your squirrels outside again?
We got a voicemail from Jackie from New Jersey. She says that there's a new show on Netflix called Bake Squad. And apparently they're using our theme music on that show. How dare they?
So there's another show, Kathleen, that uses our theme, right?
Yeah, No Demo Reno.
Okay.
Which is actually, it's a pretty good show, except this woman loves this hideous brick that she puts in every house. And I'm like, stop it. It's not even nice.
It's like a faux brick?
It's like faux brick. Stop it.
You know what? I saw someone do that on Instagram. She like staple gunned a faux brick facade to her wall in the living room and then painted it white. And it caused a lot of drama amongst her commenters. And one person said, have fun with all the cockroaches you're going to find when you take that down.
Oh, ew. What?
And
why?
I never would have thought of that because there's this wonderful little gap. Like that's it's not airtight. You're just stapling it. So anything can move in behind there.
Oh, no.
I would have thought of that until that person said it.
I feel the same way about faux brick, the way I feel about barn accoutrements in your living space.
This makes me sad because I love barn accoutrements. I love a sliding barn door.
No, why? Because if you put that on your bathroom, everybody can still hear if you're going number one or number two. There's no privacy.
I know, but I love how rustic it looks. It slides, like, Kathleen.
If you are lucky enough to live in an apartment that has brick as a wall, congratulations. That means your building is old. It means your building has character. But if you're in like a brand new condo, no one's going to walk in and be like, wow, I love this brick wall that this condo decided to leave in all of the units. Like, didn't happen.
I love a brick wall. I don't have any in my apartment right now. But what I do have is a window that faces right onto the next building, which is brick. So it's like a brick wall, but just a little further away, but not that far away.
I don't know how we got here from our theme song. Like, I just.
Oh, by the way, you mentioning our theme song makes me worried because a lot of like YouTube videos and shows will use the same music and commercials because it doesn't cost anything. It's like free music. Free download, no royalties.
Yeah.
What makes me concerned is that you and I paid for our theme song.
Yeah.
We paid like $1,000 for the rights to use our theme song and make money off of the show. And I'm worried maybe we didn't have to.
I think maybe, oh man, did we get ripped off? We bought it from a company in the UK. It's called Daisy Chains.
Yeah, the song is called Daisy Chains. It appeared in an episode of Dance Moms.
It also appeared in an episode or in a commercial for fiber pills.
Yes, la la la. And did you know the lyrics? Do you know there's lyrics to the song?
Yeah, I know. We have it. I downloaded all the versions. There are lyrics.
Wait, are there really? I was going to make something up. Are there really?
Yeah, there's lyrics.
Okay, here's the song.
Yeah.
It's by Ms. Trinity.
Makes me happy. Yeah.
Whoa!
Ring around me, Daisy, a bop. Yeah, it's a bop.
I had no idea.
You know how we found that? We typed music that sounds like Lily Allen.
Yes.
Into some sort of like music source where we could buy music. And that was the first thing that came up. So that's why we bought it.
That's right. When we first started the show, Lily Allen's Fuck You was our theme song. But
yes,
then we started then we were going to be able to sell ad revenue. And so we couldn't use it anymore.
I know.
And that you're right. It does. It sounds so much like Fuck You. It has the same vibe.
And so it's like a great, happy, upbeat song for commercial background music. Yeah. And so that's why our theme song coincidentally is also like, you know, in these Netflix shows and on HGTV. You know?
I hope they paid for it too. Otherwise, we got taken for a UK ride. We went for kilometers and kilometers on the way to hell.
Indeed.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
So I learned that making your own pasta is not really that hard.
It is hard. It gets sticky and then you can't roll it out.
So I have a roller. I had some eggs. I had some flour. I wanted pasta. I had no pasta. So I was like, let me make it. So I did. Accidentally got my proportions wrong and made enough pasta for 16 people.
Gross.
And it is a good workout because you got to roll it really thin. But it was tasty. It was so tasty, Bethany.
Okay. Well, all right. So it's water and flour and eggs, huh?
That's it. Just three ingredients.
I was going to say I'll try it, but you and I both know I'm not going to try it.
No, you're not going to do it. It's no, okay. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that Roman women back in the day used to use drops of belladonna to make their pupils look bigger.
Huh?
But belladonna is poison.
What?
So it didn't. They didn't do it for very long because
what is it?
Putting poison straight into your eyes.
Oh, is it from a flower?
Yeah, it's a plant, and it'll kill you. But it also makes your pupils get real big and sexy.
I mean, but like, think about Botox. That's also poison.
Also poison. That's why when people are like, "I won't get the vaccine," but I know they get Botox. I'm like, okay,
one of you
is poison, and one of you is not poison, and you're getting the poison one.
Wait, do you really know someone who gets Botox but won't get the vaccine?
I sure do. La 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 la
la la la. Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Radio Bethany, on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our show on social media. We are on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have an email address that is at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a telephone number. You can give us a call and leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. 917-994-0353.
You can also send us some snail mail, and that is Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, it's Taste Bud Amanda from Philadelphia. So I just got back from my solo trip to Denver, but on the Denver trip, I decided to take a ghost tour. It felt so much and on brand for an Acquired Taste podcast I had to share. There is this park called Cheeseman Park in Sanity. It used to be a huge cemetery that took up a big chunk of Denver. The rich came in and unfortunately decided that they wanted to repurpose the land. There were 4,000 bodies there before. And they slowly started inching them out. The builder there was kind of shady, was kind of at people, gross stuff like that. But to this day, there's still 2,000 bodies in the park. It was unfortunately the poor, the ill, the people without any family. But the crazy part that I wanted to share is throughout the last, I guess, 100 years or however long it's been, whenever there's a heavy rainstorm, sometimes the bones float to the surface and the park is covered with random skeleton bones. I just thought that was insane. I needed somebody else to know about it. I'm not from Denver. I don't know anyone from Denver. The tour guide shared that there used to be baskets on all the trees because they were so worried that like people just having a picnic would find a bone and things of that sort. But I just want to just share that crazy fact. I would suggest if you're ever on a tour anywhere, take the ghost tours. They're the best ones. You learn so much. And I absolutely love the podcast. And I hope you ladies have a wonderful day.
Bye. Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. Taste Bud Laurel here, also avid horse girl. And I love you, Kathleen, so, so much, but gotta fact check you on this week's episode. I'm so sorry, but the German rider that you're talking about was doing a modern day pentathlon, and she is not a horsewoman or a person that should be getting any more media time than she already has been getting. The horse she rode was not her own. They have 20 minutes to get to know a horse and then show it. And she was all freaked out and stressed out and hitting the poop out of the horse and not being a true horse person. And that's why the horse was so stressed out and did not want to jump any fences. She should have just gracefully gotten off and said, it's not going to happen today. Instead, all she cared about was her gold medal. You should read some of the articles going around right now, because this is a hot, hot, hot subject in the horse world and with a lot of strong opinions.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Alyssa from South Florida. Longtime listener, first time caller. I just am going through the latest podcast, and I just had to say that I love it when you guys do movie reviews, especially hearing Bethany's take on You've Got Mail. It's a movie I've seen a million times. I'm like Kathleen. I love all the rom-coms and all of that, and just hearing Bethany's perspective on like the things that she picks up on that, like, I guess that's her trained eye that she just knows, like, about when the girl won the thing at the fair and the guy couldn't talk because he's an extra, and noticing that the dog is looking off to the trainer on the side. Like, I mean, this is not the first time, like, you guys have done movies, and I've listened to her reviews and I'm like, wow, she's like, Bethany is so amazing at picking up on those things that I guess she's just trained to do, and we're not, like, everyday normal people. And so I just had to call and say that I love it when you guys do movie reviews. I wish you did more, maybe could like once a month or every other month or something like that, because I really do love it. I don't know if the other taste buds do, but I really do love it. So keep up all the good work. I love the community that you guys have built, and I listen every week, and the fan group is the only group on Facebook I'll post on. I don't even post on my personal page, and it's just such a wonderful community. So thank you, ladies, for all that you do. Bye.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Anna. I just wanted to say that, like, as a person who listens to you have a conversation every week, you just sound so happy lately. I know you've been hearing that, like, here and there. Like, I feel like you've mentioned that, but I just wanted to tell you again, you just sound really happy, and like you're laughing more, and like you genuinely sound joyful on the pod lately. And like, I know it can't always be that way, like every moment. And I know you're in recovery, and I can't imagine how hard that is. But anyway, I just like, I'm happy that you're happy. Okay, bye.
Hi, guys. It's Taste Bud Liana, and I am calling you with some fantastic news. Today, I passed my licensing exam, and now I am officially a licensed master of social work in the state of New York. I graduated during a pandemic. I waited a year to take this exam because I just wasn't sure of myself, but I did it. I passed, and now I need to focus on wedding planning, and maybe after that I can, relax. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day and taking care of yourself. Love you. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Laura. I am the taste bud that got almost absurdly emotional over Bethany's review about Time, and I think I ended up leaving you guys like 4 voicemails about it. Really sorry about that. I just had to stop the pod because you guys were talking about Bethany picking up the skull of the poor cat that got hit. My initial reaction was super, super, super weird, but I feel like because it's Bethany, and I feel like, and I'm sure we all do, feel like we know you so well, that in any other situation, it would feel so weird, but because it's Bethany, she's so into that kind of thing, and she does a little things like releases spirits. I feel like in this case, it might be okay. It might kind of be like giving it a second loving home. You know what, Bethany? You go for it. Go get it. I am behind you on this 100%. Also, Kathleen, you said something about
Rachel Hollis being like a cult, and I bought Girl Wash Your Face, I think that was her, because of you. I still haven't read it, and it's sitting on my nightstand, and now I'm wondering if I shouldn't read it. So I really need you to elaborate on that. Okay, I'm only going to leave one voicemail this time. I love you both so much. I hope you're both doing well. Have a great day and month and year, and love you guys. Talk to you later.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.